Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are many of us, but the same Spirit who gives to us all. There are different ministries, and the same Lord. There are many places for us to serve, and the same Lord who calls to us all. There are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. There are many of us, and one God who calls and equips us for service. Our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Is my memory.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, verses 34 through 35, and then Galatians, chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 through 35 says, "Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church." Galatians 3, 26 through 29 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the major controversies that separate churches to this day, often by denominational lines, is the role that women play in ministry. Much of the debate stems from Paul's writings and how they are interpreted, and we'll look at those today. But for me, this topic, more than any other, has been a challenge. It's been a challenge in that for a majority of my life, I've been taught to believe that women and men have separate roles within the life of a congregation. For the most part, I experienced it that way in my upbringing. In many of the churches that I've become a part of, it was tradition that kept them away. There are some churches that have even told their district superintendent, yes, United Methodist churches, that they would rather have a male preacher there over a female one. And I would not be surprised that how we approach this topic this morning may be new to you. In fact, it was new to me once as well. Coming from a strict Baptist background, my first experience with a woman in the pulpit outside of the Catholic nun who preached at my sister's funeral was when we began attending a United Methodist church in Pampa, Texas, where a husband and wife team served as the pastor. Now, if you know the Reverend Nick Matthews, please don't go out and tell that his wife, Blossom, can out-preach him any day. I think he already knows that. You know, I had always been taught to follow the denominational line, and I was always given the defense that it is what it is. But inwardly, deep down in there somewhere, I felt a tug in my spirit. Do you ever get those? Did I actually really believe that women had the right to be in the pulpit and lead congregations as much as men did? Through this experience, I began to study the role gender plays in ministry, and I turned to Paul's writings, and I found some interesting things that I want to share with you today. It seems that people who know very little about the Bible have heard about Paul. He was undoubtedly the greatest evangelist in New Testament times, and without his passion for the gospel, the New Testament church might not have gotten very far. His dramatic conversion experience and subsequent missionary travels are well documented and studied within our Judeo-Christian heritage. But a little background for you. Before we get to Paul's letters, I want to invite you to take your Bible, or the Bible that's in the pew in front of you, and open it to Genesis. And in my study, I found something here that just reached up and bit me. Now I want you to turn to Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living created tree creature that moves on the ground." Notice the pronouns, "and let them rule over the fish of the sea." Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them. From the very beginning, God knew that humankind would not be complete unless both male and female were part of it. In fact, since humankind was made in the very image of God, then doesn't it make sense to say that God too could have masculine and feminine traits? Could this, what Jesus showed when he prayed over Jerusalem in Matthew 23:37, when he compared God's love for that city as a hen that gathers her chicks under her wings, or in the 113th Psalm, the verse 9 of that, where God is compared to a joyful mother of children? Within God's very own nature, we find both genders represented. I believe that's why God, when asked by Moses to reveal his name, said simply, "I am who I am." Doing so, not to be coy or evasive, but simply to say that I am all that I created. I am all that you see, hear, and do. I am all that you know or will ever know. I am unique. How does this lead up to speaking of gender in the church? Well, if you find that God, within his own nature, has both sets of traits, then it becomes more difficult to lift one gender up above another. But yet, there are those scriptures who are often quoted to hold women back in the church. We heard 1 Corinthians 14:34, but there's also Ephesians 5:22, where it says, "Wives, be subject to your husbands as unto the Lord." And the one most frequently quoted, 1 Timothy 2:12, which says, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man." Now, before we get any further, I believe in God's word, and I believe that in it is everything necessary for a full and complete life in relationship with Christ. What do we do if two things or passages seem to conflict? This is where the heart of the gender debate begins. On one hand, we have those who say, "Well, if the Bible says to do it, then we ought to do it." To them, I would reply, "Really? Really? Leviticus 19 says that you shall not put on a garment made of two kinds of materials. If you're wearing a cotton polyester blend or any other blend for that matter, you're disobeying biblical command this morning." Well, you may be saying that that's an obscure Old Testament command, and you'd be right. But five times Paul and Peter tell Christians to greet one another with holy kisses. Done any kissing in church today? The point I'm trying to make here is that the clothes we wear, our lifestyle, the kind of house we live in, the books we read, everything in our lives is directly affected by the culture in which we live. The same was true in biblical times. With this understanding, then, we can go back to Paul's words and maybe see them a little differently. Instead of talking about women generally, Paul may have been talking about some particular women specifically. In fact, according to many theologians, historians, and scholars, it's believed that many outside religions were attacking the house churches in their infancy. One in particular faced by Timothy was a group of women who worshipped the priestess Diana. These priestesses promoted blasphemous ideas about sex and spirituality, and they performed rituals in which they pronounced curses on men and declared female superiority. What Paul was most likely saying to the churches was this: "I do not allow women to teach their heresies, nor do I allow them to usurp the authority from men by performing these rituals." And as questions begin to rise within the church about this group's influence, Paul gave the advice, "Keep the women silent so as to not disturb the worship. Let them talk about it at home." How do we know this? Because Paul actually appreciated women in ministry. If you still have your Bibles available, we're going to take a quick tour this morning of some of those women. In Acts 16:13-15, Paul went into Philippi looking for a synagogue, and when he couldn't find one, he heard of some woman. Note, no men were to be found there. And they were regularly meeting on the shore to pray, so he went to them and shared with these ladies, and so began the first church in Europe. There's no doubt that Lydia started and led what is now known as the Philippian church. In Romans 16:1-2, here we find Paul sending Phoebe to lead in the church at Rome. She was already a deaconess at the church of Sintra, and Paul commended her as a sister and a servant and a great help to many people. In fact, Paul said she should be treated in a way worthy of the saints. In Romans 16, verse 3, that's the very next verse down, we find that Priscilla and her husband had sailed with Paul back in Acts chapter 18. And it was Priscilla and her husband who led the church in Ephesus and who were responsible for teaching the gospel to Apollos. In fact, Priscilla is sometimes listed ahead of her husband when their names are mentioned, which have led some to speculate that Priscilla was the primary teacher and her husband oversaw the ministry. At any rate, we see here a woman in a very prominent role of preaching and teaching. Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians 4, 2 through 3. We see those references here in that scripture of these two women who have been loyal yoke fellows contending at Paul's side in the cause of the gospel. Junia in Romans 16, verse 7, is where we find Paul commending her, who was a fellow prisoner for the gospel. In the original Greek, Junia was a woman's name. And Paul said that she was outstanding among the apostles, which probably meant that the apostles knew of her service and knew it very well. Although some have taken it as far as to say that she may have been an apostle herself, since she was among them. In any case, Paul commended her service. And the list, friends, could go on and on and on outside of Paul's comments. In the second letter of John, we see the letter written to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. And in 1 Timothy, we hear of Lois and Eunice, who are the Christian grandmother and mother of Timothy, respectively. And in John 1, don't we hear of a Samaritan woman who led her community to Christ? And there are other women throughout the Bible in positions of leadership, such as prophets and evangelists, judges, and others. In fact, the baby Jesus was brought to the prophet Anna in the temple to be blessed. Regardless of the particulars, we can see that not only Paul approached women in ministry and appreciated them, but Christ did also. In fact, in the times where Paul teaches on the fruits of the Spirit, we don't see some for men and some for women, do we? After much deliberation and study on my part, I feel that it's a fair conclusion that the testimony found in the bulk of the scripture, including the Pauline texts, speak plainly for women to be able to fulfill any ministry or position that the Spirit of God places upon them, whether it be a teacher or a prophet or a pastor, evangelist, bishop, or apostle. In conclusion, let me say that it was not my intent this morning to start a debate, although I'll stand for what I've said because I believe it to be true and biblical. Instead, I pray that this teaching will encourage those who believed, like I once did, to prayerfully seek the Lord with an open heart in this issue. God has used and wants to use any person who will come to Him asking forgiveness and looking for the Spirit's leadership in their lives, regardless of a person's gender or calling in Him. Hear these words from the prophet Joel, fulfilled at Pentecost, and as we draw closer to Christ's return, we can expect it to be fulfilled even more fully. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. You can find that in Acts 2, verses 17 through 18. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the ministries that you've given to each one of us. We give you thanks for our ability to study your word and to find in it your will for our lives. We give you thanks not only for those women who have served you over the centuries, but also for those who serve you in whatever capacity today in our church. May the lines of gender, race, wealth, status completely disappear as we are transformed by your Spirit to be the new creatures in Christ we are called to be. May your church truly become the place where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, For we are indeed all one in the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in His holy name that we pray as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
One bread, one body, one Lord of all, one cup of blessing which we bless, and we, though many, throughout the earth, we are one body in this world. One body in this world. grain for the fields, scattered and grown, gathered to
listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.